You're listening to SBS News.
The Queen and her 99-year-old husband, Prince Philip, have joined more than 18.6 million people in the UK who have now received their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. The 94-year-old says it was not painful at all.
Well, once you've had the vaccine, you have a feeling of, you're protected, which is, I think, very important. And as far as I can make out, it was quite harmless. It was very quick. And I've had lots of letters from people who've been very surprised by how easy it was to get the vaccine. And the jab was very, it didn't hurt at all.
The pair received vaccines from a household doctor at Windsor Castle in January. In rare public remarks on her private health, the monarch says she decided to share information about her vaccination to prevent inaccuracies and speculation. She acknowledged there is vaccine hesitancy in the community.
I think the other thing is that it is obviously difficult for people to, if they've never had a vaccine, they ought to think about other people rather than themselves.
Meanwhile, European leaders are holding a virtual summit to discuss how to deal with vaccine production and delivery problems. European Union Chief Charles Michel says he's optimistic the issues can be overcome.
Les prochaines semaines vont demeurer.
The next weeks will remain difficult when it comes to vaccination. Meanwhile, I have a message of hope and optimism. As we saw during our debate, we have the means, resources and capacities to succeed in the coming months and ensure the EU plays a major role in getting out of the crisis in which we've been for almost a year now.
So far, just 8% of the adult population in the EU have received a jab. That compares with 27% in the UK. The European Commission says it's aiming to have 70% of the adult population across the bloc vaccinated by the end of summer. But 4 out of the 5 Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine doses delivered in the EU have yet to be given to patients. That's according to analysis of data from the European Centre for Disease Prevention Control. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says further action will be taken to speed up the distribution of vaccines. She's vowed the EU will follow through on a ban of vaccines produced in the EU leaving the region if the pharmaceutical companies such as AstraZeneca fail to deliver on their contracts for vaccine doses.
Is not directed against any kind of country, but it is focused on the question, does the company that is exporting vaccines that are being produced in Europe honour their contract with the European Union? We are in discussions, as you know, with AstraZeneca, where there's room for improvement.
AstraZeneca's chief executive, Pascal Sorio, says his company is partnering with a German firm to expand production capacity to help Europe. He spoke before a joint committee of the European Parliament, where he was questioned over a heavy shortfall in the 120 million expected deliveries this quarter.
First, we must seize every option to increase manufacturing capacity. To do this, as a company, we are making significant new investments, such as our recent partnership with IDT Biologica in Germany, which will expand European capacity and create one of the largest capacities. We want to help Europe becoming independent in its own manufacturing supply.
Coronavirus variants are spreading across the EU. The B117 British variant of the virus is now present in all 27 EU member states, the South African variant in 14, and the Brazilian variant in 7. EU leaders at the summit made some progress on ideas to encourage travel in the bloc. Some leaders want to create a so-called green passport to allow those who are already vaccinated to resume an ordinary life. Ms. von der Leyen says there are many issues to work through, including how to address concerns of potential discrimination against people who have not been vaccinated.
It is important to have a European solution because otherwise others will go into this vacuum. As we know, Google and Apple are already offering solutions to the WHO, and these are sensitive informations, so we want to be very clear here that we offer a European solution.
Israel's Defense Minister Benny Gantz says there will be an immediate suspension of plans to donate surplus vaccines to a number of nations who are allies of Israel. He accused Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of acting without oversight or transparency in announcing the plan earlier this week. Political rival Mr. Gantz says the policy needs to follow legal processes and that Security Cabinet will be looking into the matter. Although Mr. Netanyahu did not name the recipient nations, a number of countries which supported Israel's claim to the contested city of Jerusalem as its capital have confirmed they have or are expecting shipments from Israel. Guatemala, Honduras, and the Czech Republic are on that list. Mr. Netanyahu says there's nothing untoward about the plan.
Regarding the vaccines, we are talking about symbolic numbers that we are giving to various countries. I took the decision, I think it was an intelligent decision, in return for many things that we already received through many contacts in various areas that I will not detail here. I think it absolutely buys goodwill. Those are symbolic numbers.
Meanwhile, Palestinians have struggled to procure their own vaccines. The blockaded Gaza currently has enough vaccines for just 1% of its population of 2 million, even as Israel vaccinates 50% of its citizens. A United Nations report in January urged Israel on both a legal and moral basis to ensure vaccine access for Palestinians, citing Article 56 of the Geneva Convention. Israel says that under interim peace agreements from the 1990s, it has no such responsibility. Israel's Health Minister Yuli Edelstein has told Bloomberg the government's first obligation is to the Israeli population.
What enables us to open certain areas that we couldn't even dream about opening, like theatres or fitness centres, is the what we call the Green Pass, which is a certain document certificate confirming that the person has either been vaccinated or unfortunately suffered from the disease and recovered from the disease.
Meanwhile, Dr. Hans Kluge, the head of the WHO Europe, is urging nations to take more seriously the people who are affected by COVID-19 long term. He says more support is needed.
In some patients, the disability following SARS-CoV-2 infection lingers on for months with severe social, economic, health and occupational consequences. The burden is real and it is significant. About 1 in 10 COVID-19 sufferers remain unwell after 12 weeks and many for much longer. As with any new disease, so much was and remains unknown. As the pandemic has evolved, professionals and patients alike have mapped a path in the dark through their experiences.
Meanwhile, Bahrain has become the first nation to authorise the new Johnson & Johnson single-dose coronavirus vaccine for emergency use. And Syria's government says it will start giving coronavirus vaccines to its healthcare workers across the war-ravaged country from next week. COVID-19 has caused at least 2.5 million deaths globally since the outbreak emerged in China in December 2019. The health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Biwa Kwan, SBS News.